Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of the Live Lounge podcast series for the British Chamber of Commerce Shanghai. This episode is hosted by Stephen Proud. He is the Global Marketing Director of Brandigo in China. And this is the second half of a small series he's done titled B2B Marketing During Uncertain Times. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, you can wind back and listen to season three, episode two, to hear him talk to two speakers from Germany and Israel. However, in this episode, he'll be speaking to Paul Everett, who is the Chief Innovation Officer at the Marketing Practice in United Kingdom, and Samuel Jaroge, who is the Regional Director of BTL Africa, calling from Africa. So I'm now going to hand over to Stephen in the Live Lounge.
I'm very grateful to have Paul Everett join us as well from another E3 member agency. Paul is the Chief Innovation Officer of the Marketing Practice. And Paul, I'll let you flesh that out a little bit more. Why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of your agency and the type of work that you do?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Stephen. So we are an agency that specializes in helping IT companies sell to large enterprises globally. So we're working with clients like Microsoft, Salesforce, HP, those type of people, helping them sell to other large enterprises across a whole load of public and private sectors globally. So it's a fascinating time for us right now to look at how those businesses are buying and how our clients are able to sell to them. And my role at TMP is I look for the innovations that can help us and our clients grow. So that's things like in the last 2 or 3 years, we've expanded from the UK to open up offices in Germany and the US. And we've also been looking at new services like account-based marketing, which I might come on to in a bit later on.
Thinking about the clients that you're currently working with then, and I think it's going to be interesting to have somebody with tech specialism in this, because I think that's a very different world in the current climate to what some other businesses may be facing. Are you seeing any sort of commonality within the types of questions or the challenges that your clients are coming with, to you with?
Yes. So I think you're right. It's an interesting sector to be in. In some ways, it might be too early to tell, and I'm sure we'll come on to kind of the outlook question. But right now, a lot of our clients are seeing a real spike in demand, actually. So if you think about it, that might be Microsoft selling Surface devices for people who are going to be working from home, or it could be Citrix kind of looking at the infrastructure that enables, you know, remote working to be fairly seamless, or a whole bunch of our clients who have got cloud-based propositions, and that whole scalable thing is really important for businesses right now. So I think there's a question in a lot of their minds about how long is that peak in demand going to last, and what's going to come next, and how do they prepare themselves next. And I would say most of our clients are onto that phase of thinking about, you know, when this immediate lockdown stage is over, what is their go-to-market strategy going to look like? So we're doing quite a lot of work around that. What is be the messages that they take out to market? What kind of propositions should they focus on? And they're aware, I think, that a lot of the businesses they sell to are going to have quite a cost-cutting response to the environment. So the view of a fairly deep recession in some areas, and that businesses will be looking to save money wherever they can in order to make some smart investments to come out ahead. So if you think about one of our clients trying to sell to a large enterprise, a lot of them will be preparing a story that's leading with how they can help their customers make efficiencies and savings. So we're doing quite a bit of work at the moment to look at how they develop those stories.
Interesting. I think kind of from an outside industry outsider's perspective as well, a lot of the companies that we have experience of, or that we've been speaking to, there was sort of a scramble. There was not a lot of robust contingency planning in place. And perhaps some of the businesses that you were working with represent solutions to being part of any contingency planning when, you know, people need to rely on remote working or remote ways of doing things.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of the clients have got great propositions for like the employee experience. So how you can start to automate and improve the experience that employees have kind of wherever they're working. So I think they're well positioned for that. And quite a few also have, whether it's disaster recovery or operational resilience in their proposition set. And some of them have done, I think, some really good things that I know our clients' teams are really proud of, sort of how their businesses are acting at the moment. So, you know, a client like ServiceNow, who provide workflow technology platforms for businesses to build kind of great processes around. They have made kind of large chunks of their technology free for use when it comes to that kind of emergency response or processes around, how to companies and public sector bodies manage whole loads of new processes that they're having to develop really quickly to respond to the crisis. It's seeing that kind of thing and thinking about what happens in 2 or 3 months' time when we want to be able to go to businesses and say, well, you know, our clients have got maybe a really great solution for how you think about being better prepared for next time round. So, as I say, that's where a lot of the focus is right now. It's on how are we going to tell that story in a couple of months' time.
In terms of kind of, let's focus a little bit more on the now for a short time. What do you feel is working for you in the region that you're operating in and the industries that you're operating right now in terms of perhaps client communications or marketing channels? Is there anything, you know, opposite to that? Is there anything that you've tried that isn't working at the moment?
A lot of it for us is starts with the sales process that our clients go through when they're selling to a large enterprise or a public sector body. And one of the things that we've picked up on is there's an opportunity around something that we've seen described as minimum viable problems. So this is a phrase that comes from a chap called Bob Apollo, who is fantastic name. He's a sales enablement guru with a great blog. And there's not too many people called Bob Apollo. So if you Google him, you'll probably find that. And he talks about this idea of a minimum viable problem. So if you're selling to a large enterprise right now, and likely over the next year at least, they're going to have a lot of things on their plate and probably quite a push, as I said, to reduce costs and kind of make an impact in a few select new areas. And he has this idea of how do you find a problem which is something really pressing that business has to solve, but it can't be so big that the buying committee is going to become tens of people, each of whom will have a different agenda and maybe their own pet project to push through. But it can't be too small a problem to fix, because then they'll say, well, it's not worth the impact of my time trying to get this project underway. So I think that's going to be a massive thing for our client sales teams, is thinking differently about stuff like that. Like that idea is one good example of, you know, how do I go and find a minimum viable problem in a customer base? And what can we as marketers do to help those sales teams sell in that situation? So I think sales enablement is going to be a big push. And probably the other big thing that goes along with that is this topic of account-based marketing. So, you know, our client as a big technology company has, you know, some massive enterprise customers. Those customers can be treated almost as individual markets in their own right, with a plan of how do we go into that customer and retain and grow it in new areas. And I think we are going to be hitting a period where it's very hard to acquire brand new customers, or it's certainly harder to acquire brand new customers quickly, but which businesses are going to want to go to the effort of putting a new vendor on their books. It's certainly going to take time. So I think a lot of our clients are putting more focus into that account-based marketing area of target their existing customers where they're already on the supplier books, taking thoughtful solutions to them about, yeah, how can they be better prepared next time, or how can they learn some of the lessons of the customer experience maybe that they delivered, and how could our client help transform that? Focus on growing the existing customers, while in the new acquisition space, looking at that as a longer term game. So it might be unlikely to, or harder to, get new customers to sign up over the next few months. But what can we do in terms of the groundwork to build more awareness in those prospects, or to analyze and segment the data so that when we come out the other side of this, we're even clearer about who are we targeting from a new business point of view? Those are the type of things that we're doing more of at the moment, I would say, for our clients.
Interesting. And anything that you've kind of tested and perhaps hasn't had the desired results?
Well, I suppose one thing that's shifted is we have a part of our business, so alongside the sort of communications approach and the content and account-based marketing stuff, we have a team in the business of inside sales, like demand gen specialists, yeah. So a sort of high-end telemarketing space. And that's shifted quite a bit. So, you know, obviously with people working from home, it's a lot harder to go via a corporate switchboard and get connected to people. Sure. But what we have seen, though, is people being much more willing to share and pick up their own mobile phones. So that's been a bit of a shift in the last few weeks in that team, but more of a focus on reaching out to people, mainly on their corporate mobile numbers, but occasionally personal numbers. People have been a lot more open to having those kind of conversations. So I think that was maybe a surprising conclusion to what's going on at the minute.
So just sort of thinking a little bit more in general then, and with the benefit of hindsight, and I think some of the solutions and some of that your clients have been offering that you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you know, is the things that businesses in your region should have, could have done more of when the virus situation was first starting to develop in January?
That's a really tricky one, particularly from a European and even from the perspective of our US office, I guess, because I think in hindsight, there's a lot of things that we would like to have been doing in January. And in the words of Donald Trump, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say why the alarm wasn't raised more clearly earlier on. I think it is such a shame that, you know, we had to see what was starting to happen in Italy, is my impression at least, before we were galvanized really into action. That's probably oversimplifying it, but it's how it feels a bit. And I think probably not even with the best hindsight, I don't think we could have said January, but I think we could have said, you know, like mid to late February or even early March, there was more to be done. But I think, you know, a lot of our clients themselves are very used to, most of the people we work with are used to working from home, are quite agile now in how they work. They've been really quick to get some responses out to the market. But yeah, I do feel like there was probably more to be done in that window before the lockdown in terms of preparations. Just have to think about the school systems as well. You know, there's my daughter was fairly well equipped, I would say, but I'm sure the school would have wanted more preparation time on that remote learning stuff.
Could you let me get a little bit more then of your outlook for B2B marketing once this current situation ends? Are you expecting things to be just going back to business as usual, or should we be expecting a new normal?
I think it'll probably be a game of two halves, to use a great English cliche.
I'm going to have to translate that for our Chinese audience when we come into it.
I think a bit of a game of two halves. So I think it'd be very easy for some businesses to start to go back to how things were. I think, when some of the restrictions start lifting, some companies will try and resume the way things were. And I suspect that will probably work out for them in the short term. And then I think others will use this as an opportunity to rethink things and, on the whole, I suspect that will be an area where our clients in the tech industry can really support businesses that are thinking about, you know, we want to do stuff differently. We want to be able to serve more of our customers online with a better experience, or we want our employees to really be able to work from home or wherever, rather than some of the lip service that's been paid, I think, over the last decade or so to that to that concept. I think there'll be a mix. And in terms of what marketing and sales techniques work, I really think that idea of finding the minimum viable problem and selling to that is going to be critical for success of B2B sales and marketing teams in the next year. And I suspect also the focus, as I was saying, on selling to existing customers and looking to help them grow and be supportive of existing customers whilst building up a better strategy and data set and segmentation and targeting approach for new business, but not expecting new business to go quick out of the gates, I suspect, when this current situation ends. I think that's going to be a longer game.
Interesting. We've just seen announcements this week that the Canton Fair, which is one of the biggest trade and industry shows around the world, actually, but they have rescheduled it for obvious reasons, but it is going to be entirely online.
Well, that I think is going to be an interesting question, isn't it? Because some of the stuff that our team have been doing around, obviously people are looking for alternatives to physical events right now. And I think there's a big question of, do you just try and take what you were doing physically and move it online? So I guess that will be the example that, if you're organizing a trade show, I think that probably has to be your first step. But then I think there's also the route of saying, well, what was the objective anyway of our physical event? And how might we achieve that objective in a different way, rather than just saying, you know, a physical event is going to become, you know, a small scale is going to become a Zoom webinar or something. What were we really trying to achieve with that event? Were we trying to just find new prospects to start a relationship with? Because that sort of stuff is going to be important now. You know, saying what I said about focusing on existing customers, but targeting prospects and knowing that this is a great time to just start a relationship, even if you're not going to be able to sell really quickly to them. So was that the aim of your event? In which case, there's other ways to get that relationship started. You know, even what I was saying about, you know, using the telephone and having a good conversation with someone on their mobile at home, you know, that's interesting. Or was the purpose of it that you were going to use it to really find a way to bring your story to life, in which case we know there's lots of other techniques online for engaging people with storytelling that don't have to have a live event element to them. It'd be interesting to see where the technology goes, like you say, for the kind of virtual event piece, but also I suspect we'll see more focus on interesting online content experiences alongside that.
Paul, thank you very much for your time and thank you very much for your insight and expertise. Very much appreciated. Thanks again.
Thanks for the opportunity, Stephen. Thank you.
I am very delighted now to have another special guest for the series. I'm honoured to have Samuel from BTL Africa join us for this one. Samuel, why don't you just introduce yourself briefly to the listeners and then introduce your agency and tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you, Stephen, for this opportunity. So I'm Samuel Njiroge. I'm actually from BTL Africa. BTL Africa is an exponential marketing agency. We're based in quite a number of countries in the West, East, and Central Africa. So I'm a director in East and Central Africa.
Excellent. Great. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So one of the first things I'll be interested in exploring with you is, obviously, with the COVID-19 situation that's affecting the world in lots of different ways at the moment, are you seeing any patterns in the types of questions or challenges that your clients are facing? Is there any commonality that they are coming to you with?
I would say it varies with different fields. There are some clients who actually like shut off communication and with COVID, and they're not pushing any kind of marketing activities.
Okay.
But then when it comes to the other side as well, some of the commonalities I've been seeing is that there's a focus, of course, on revenue. Clients still want to keep their goods and services going on. At the same time, they also want to make sure that they are top of mind to their clients. So they still want to keep in touch with their clients. And now when they're not able to do that physically, then maybe it might be online. Again, they're also looking at, doing all the activities, whatever kind of activities they're doing. They are very keen on making sure that this is being done with safety in consideration, in terms of maybe the warehousing or in terms of deliveries of goods to customers. There's a bit of the sense of it has to be done, you know, in a safety way. Something which is very unique is that customers are also looking at post-COVID and saying, you know, what will happen after this gap? Looking at other countries like maybe China that went through the period and now they are going back to the normality in terms of business. And they're like, can you start planning for maybe new activities, impactful activities, unique campaigns that will also ensure that they're able to cover up the gaps of what they've lost in terms of revenue? Yeah.
That's interesting. And it's positive to hear that for some of your clients anyway, there's a lot of forward planning already taking place. You mentioned that some of the businesses have just sort of gone into hibernation and completely shut down all comms. What is the thinking behind that? Is it just a cost-cutting exercise because they're worried about future revenue? Why did they feel that was the best strategy, do you think?
There's some of the customers that we deal with who are involved in like direct communication with them, with the customers. And it felt that maybe it might not be safe. So they look at the kind of what they're subjecting to their retailers and customers and going out there and maybe dealing, but going out there and it's not safe. And they're like, no, this will be against the image of the company. So I think it's more about the consideration about the image of the company.
That's interesting. That really makes sense. So I guess then to follow up for that, and you've touched on this and talk about how a lot of activity is moving online, and that's certainly a pattern that we're seeing across the globe and across the regions at the moment. But in terms of specifically in the region that you operate in, what's working well right now in terms of the client communication and marketing channels? Is there anything that you've seen a company or a client try that hasn't worked very well?
When it came to online engagement of clients, and especially from this region, okay, it's something that the most of the companies are actually pushing to, because I mean it's quite safe. And then maybe you can there are two ways. You can actually make an order online, and then maybe the client is able to deliver the products to the consumers. But at the same time as well, clients are able to guide. So they have like web seminars where they can be able to guide the customers on best practices. But then one of the biggest challenges as well, so it's a two-way, because it's working for some and for some it's not working. Because there are also a big number of people in the region that do not have a mobile enabled, internet enabled phones. Then they're not able, they cannot be able to order online, they cannot be able to participate in the web seminars. So that becomes a challenge. So I think the biggest thing is how now the consumer, how the clients can be able to train their consumers so as to be able to understand how to use the internet, how to use online, maybe internet for ordering their goods and services. So that's something that will continue progressing, as I think, even after the COVID era.
So do you think that this might, particularly in your region, inspire more take-up of mobile internet technology within the region and inspire more users and more customers themselves to get to grips with this? And that, as you mentioned, the businesses are taking an educational role in that.
Definitely. I would believe that the online engagement will be a way that will continue even after COVID. That to save time, you know, if I can make an order, I don't have to leave my house, or I can make an order from work and it's delivered to my premises or where I want it to be, that will continue. And again, something which is very important as well in my region is the uptake of mobile money. I'm sure you know about M-Pesa,
yeah,
which is it's also being pushed a lot, you know, within the markets, because now you're able to, you know, I don't have to pay by cash. So it's more safer using my mobile money to pay. And this has been incorporated in the online platforms. So you are able to, you know, move your money from your bank and then you're able to pay online. So that is something that will become a new life. And I think it will continue even after the COVID.
Really interesting space to be working in at the moment, and a really interesting region, I think, to be working in. Do you feel that there's anything that businesses in your region could have done better, perhaps when the news of the virus first started breaking? Anything that you feel so, or you would have advised them to have done differently?
When you look at the businesses, I don't think the businesses were very, very well prepared. When we had maybe the first cases in China, and then it was like it seems a bit far. People started reacting after maybe the first case was reported in the country, and therefore then people say, oh, now we need to move and do this and do that. So basically, the businesses, these are new things that, of course, it was unexpected. But then I think businesses were not very, very well prepared, because you can look, if you look at the small businesses now, when they've gone back to planning, and you're like, how long will the business be able to survive without the expected revenues? You find then the business are only able to survive with a very short time, mainly maybe about 3 months or so. So the business are not very prepared for this. So I think this is it's an eye-opener when I think about it. It's that now business will be a part of a planning of the business, like a plan ahead section, where you can be able to say that, how do you prepare yourself in case of something like this happening in future? This is a new eye-opener for most of the businesses that will improve in terms of, will improve their planning and how you can be prepared for any such things in future.
Fascinating. And just thinking about B2B marketing in general then, and it'd be great just to get your personal opinion on this. And I think you've hinted along the way. Do you see things just going back to business as normal after all this is over with, or should we be expecting a new normal? And I think when you're some of the points that you raised earlier about mobile money in Africa and greater take-up of mobile comms in Africa, I think I know what you're going to say to this, Samuel, but I'd be interested to hear your point of view.
To start with, I think the consumer behaviors have really changed, and that's what dictates the business as well. Before, it was maybe, you know, coming to work, to the office, going to shop at the malls, you know, going to gyms, going to restaurants, and our kids are going to school. But now everything has changed. You're working from home. If it's shopping, we are doing shopping online, and then maybe exercise within the house. And we've now moved more into digital space. There's some things that will actually will change, I think, a lot. For instance, when it comes to the working patterns, I think people will be more comfortable working from their houses. Because now we've realized that actually we can have Zoom meetings. So we can have Zoom meetings with the with the business partners. Now, and even within the offices, you know, basically we don't have to meet as a group. And given the issue of social distancing, immediately people, you don't want to go back immediately and start having these big meetings. Mm-hmm. I mean, so even after COVID, you'd be like, no, I would rather keep my space. And then when it comes to the issue of business, where it's about revenue and you know, the costs, it might be a consideration. You really need that office. So I know in my region, like in Kenya, we have even these shared offices. Actually, you can go to a building and then you just take up maybe hire an office for a day.
Yeah.
You're having a meeting, you're going to meet a client. So could that be the way that businesses will go to? And then instead of now having like an office, which may not be necessary in some cases. And again, now businesses are going to focus on maybe a lot of digital engagements. So basically, even to the consumers that we've talked about, maybe like e-commerce. So I think that will be the way to go, whereby now, you know, it's about ordering from online, and then we have this item delivered to your house. Or we can even have that web seminars where it came to maybe like discuss getting opinion from experts on issues that, you know, on matters. Again, the other thing talked with previously, it's about the plan ahead. I think this would be a big thing for businesses, because now, you know, you realize that actually people realize that something can put the world into a halt. You know, coronavirus came out in a very short time and the world is now in a standstill. Mm-hmm. So basically, there'll be a lot of planning. Because one of the things that I'm seeing in my market is that businesses are being pushed to their corner and they're like, fine, we have people, I mean, we're not able to pay them in terms of like maybe their salaries. Mm-hmm. They're no revenues. Either revenues have gone down or no revenues at all. And therefore, because of the bad planning, then businesses are only able to sustain their salaries for a short time.
Yeah.
Some of the people have to, maybe they'll pay them for the first 2 months. After the third month, then it will be like 50%. And some of the employees have actually been told to go off on unpaid leave. For the employees' parts, their life still remains the same. They still have got to meet their usual bills. So basically, again, like I said, there'll be a better planning for the businesses. So I don't think it will be the same at all. Corona will change us. Will change the world completely, even in the business world, in terms of how we engage each other and even how we do our businesses.
Samuel, thank you very much for your insight. And I know you're working very hard over there, so I appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us today. And it was great to hear your input. And I'm sure our listeners are going to really benefit from that. So thank you again.
Thanks so much, Stephen, for this time as well. Thank you.
And that concludes episode 3 of season 3 of the Live Lounge podcast series, and also closes the 2-part small series put together by Stephen Proud on B2B marketing during uncertain times. If you'd like to get in touch with any of the speakers that you've heard over the last 2 episodes, then please do contact us at the British Chamber of Commerce, Shanghai. Bye for now.